Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. I want to thank you for joining us on the Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. We have a special guest for you. A good friend of our ministry is back, and I know you'll be getting a lot of information that will bless you today. So get your notepad and your ink pen ready, because these interviews, they seem to go super fast. It seems like we just get started and it's time to end already. Every time we talk to John Meacham, it's like that. John Meacham has served Christ Church as a Christian author, lay pastor, a supply preacher, elder, workshop leader, small group coordinator, Bible study instructor, Sunday school teacher, and he just goes on and on and on. As part of his church work, John developed a small group program titled AIM, and involved membership, and prepared a group study guide for the book, Is Your Church Heavenly? A Question from Christ for Every Christian, which was published in 2008. John was born in 1951 in Hickory, North Carolina. He grew up the son of faithful Presbyterian parents. However, despite all the loving instruction, example from his parents and the church, until he was converted at age 31, he thought the story of Jesus was a lie. 2 days after his birthday in 1982, he learned the truth about Jesus Christ and has been proclaiming it ever since. John then spent 8 days at the Sea of Galilee in 2005. During this time, he received a new revelation from Christ that involved messages that spoke of the state of the seven churches in today's modern time. His previously released work, Is Your Church Heavenly?, details both his experience and the messages he received, and I recommend that book to you. Today, we're going to continue a discussion we started last time about the heavenly church, and it involves Jesus' messages to the churches today. Last time, we covered message 1 in episode 411 and 412, so if you missed those episodes, go back and catch up, because we don't have time to go back and rehash it again. But I encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes, as well as what John's going to share with us today. Amen? Help me welcome back to the program, John Meacham. John, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Pastor Bob, it's great to be here with you. I appreciate all of that information you revealed about me. I'm not sure where you gathered all of that, but I appreciate that. Like you said, we're on the Heavenly Church page of my website, dazzlinglight.org, and I want to remind all of those listening to the podcast, that I'm trying to reveal the information I have there primarily because I think it's easy, it's free, and folks can find everything they need there on the website. And today, as you said, we're doing the second sermon, and it's titled Strive for Spiritual Riches. Now, in this sermon, we begin with Jesus' second message to the churches in America.
Hold on just a second there, John, because before we get into that, just for those people who have not heard us before in doing your interview, other than that brief bio, I want you to tell us, in your own words, who is John Meacham? Get everybody all caught up.
As John Meacham, I was an accountant, a CPA, and all kinds of things, but you know, it's one of those things where in life we have different roles to play. When I was born again on 10/24/82, I came to the realization that I am also John the Apostle, the cousin of Yeshua, one of the original disciples, the author of the Gospel of John and the Revelation to John, and that my call from Christ is to fulfill his prophecy that John will be here when he returns, which he revealed in as he spoke to Peter there right before he left to return to heaven at the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 21. He basically tells Peter, what is it to you about John? Follow me, but that John will be here when he returns. So I am here now, and I am here preparing the way for Jesus' second coming.
Amen. Now, last time in the first message to the modern church, that's what we discussed last time. Can you just briefly summarize what we talked about, get everybody all caught up, just take a minute or two to talk about that?
The theme of the first message, or the first message title, was Surrender to Jesus. And in that message, we we talk about how the church has turned away from Jesus and turned towards secular things. And I think that the biggest part of our discussion in the first part of that message in the first episode was the prostitution of Christmas in the name of Jesus Christ, that we really need to get Jesus out of the whole Christmas celebration. God revealed to me in a dream that Jesus' birthday is 919-03 B.C., and my current emphasis right now, at least for all of 2019, is to try to get folks in the churches to recognize Jesus' birthday on September the 19th, and let's get Jesus out of the secular celebration of Christmas. So surrender to Jesus and moving Jesus out of the secular celebration of Christmas into a day of his own in the church was the primary theme of our last discussion.
Okay. And let's go ahead and jump right into the subject for today, the second message. Tell us about this.
Okay. Well, if it's okay, I'd like to preach part of it, and I don't really mean preach in terms of off the cuff. I mean read it from the message on the website there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the second sermon, as we talked about, the title is Strive for Spiritual Riches. It opens with what Jesus gave me to deliver to the churches back on 128:18. He gave me seven new messages for the churches in America. And this one reads, Jesus says, to the angels in the churches write, this is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who died and lived again. Hold fast against Satan. Be faithful to me. Let the rule and reign of heaven lead you to victory over death. For I am now calling you to prepare Christian churches for my second coming. Christ now seeks Christians who will feed Jesus' followers his body that came down from heaven and will reveal the glory for all to behold. Jesus says, hold fast against Satan, for I am full of hope. When we place our hope in Satan's treasures on earth, Jesus says, repent. When we place our hope in a life of prosperity, Jesus says, repent. When we place our hope in the house on the hill, Jesus says, repent. When we place our hope in a financially secure retirement, Jesus says, repent. We must turn a deaf ear to the words of Satan coming forth from all around us, even coming forth from church pastors. Then turn our ear to hear Jesus calling us to put our hope in the riches of heaven, to place our hope in the Word of God, to find our hope in the eternal joy of salvation, and to discover a life of hope revealed in Christ's eternal gospel. For Jesus extends his invitation to all Christians to ready ourselves to see our hope realized face to face when we see Jesus on the Mount of Beatitudes or in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Pastor Bob, I guess you've kind of picked up here on the first part of this message deals with hope.
Amen.
And the dilemma facing us today, particularly, and I hate to use this term, but it's really becoming more and more prevalent in my mind for American Christians, is Do we follow the American dream for a financially secure life, or do we follow the hope of heaven and Jesus Christ? You know, you're really in tune with what's happening in this country today in a lot of respects. What do you think the bend is for American Christians now? Are we following the American dream, or are we following the hope of heaven?
I think they're following pastors who are following the American dream rather than following
Christ.
Oh, that's
scary. Oh, Pastor Bob, that's not a good thing to say. Oh, gosh. Oh. Why do you think pastors are leading them that way?
Because they're caught up in the worldly system of fame, fortune, popularity, and speaking the truth is not a popular thing to do. So they, you know, that's why they took the crosses off the walls. That's why they turned the lights off and made church more of a theatrical performance than an actual worship service.
Oh, wow.
Don't get me started.
Well, but I mean, it's important. I mean, yeah. You know, that's what all of this stuff I'm doing is about. It's, the title of this sermon is Strive for Spiritual Riches. You know, and I go on to say, Jesus says, be faithful to me. for I am full of faith. And here's a whole bit about pastors. After Jesus turned the water into wine during a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, Jesus' disciples put their faith in him. Peter put his faith in Jesus and preached, repent and be baptized. Yet many church pastors today, they drink the glorious wine of Christ and they preach, put your faith in me and I will show you the way to be baptized in the glory of the world. Peter put his faith in Jesus and preached, believe in Jesus and your sins will be forgiven. Yet many church pastors today preach, put your faith in me and I will show you a life adorned in the treasures of this world that you can bring forth from a life of forgiven greed. Yep. Peter put his faith in Jesus and preached, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, while many church pastors today preach, put your faith in me and I will show you the path of Christian humanism. Mm. Now that's kind of a phrase that I've coined, that Christian humanism. You used to see secular humanism, but I think Christians who, I believe in their hearts, they really believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
They also believe in the goodness of humanity and that they should be humanist before they're Christian. I think somehow coming forth as a part of the American dream or whatever, there's this movement that now humanism is more important than Christianity. I had a Uber driver this week, which was really weird, Pastor Bob. He was disappointed with Billy Graham because Billy Graham did not spend enough time honoring the other religions of the world. And I had to tell him, no, Billy Graham can't do that. He couldn't do that. Yeah. He has to tell everybody the other religions are wrong and that they need to believe in Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen. That's right. And, you know, I don't want to get down this road, but here we go. You know, to be truthful, I am totally disgusted, I guess you could say, by most church services that I attend anymore. You know, because I, because of the nature of my ministry, I travel, about every 3 or 4 months, I'll do a circuit, I guess you could say, just visiting the churches that are, whose pastors are on our radio station. And I see ritualistic mannerisms rather than Holy Spirit-led services. I see the focus on what I call clean messages rather than exposing and calling out sin. I mean, I see the let's just go along to get along clan rather than militants and rebels to society that, you know, the apostles were. You know, that we fail to call out the evil that's happening all around us. I am almost at the point right now, to tell you the truth, that I really don't want to go to a formal gathering called a church anymore. I mean, it really just turns my stomach sometimes.
You know? That's very disappointing because you're a man that offers so much to the church in terms of you're out there trying to win people who are unbelievers.
Oh, I know.
Back to Jesus Christ, and that's what we're all about. But, you know, I drop down here and I look at the next question that I have for the folks reading this sermon and listening to this podcast. Brothers and sisters, the question then facing us, each of us today, and it's a question for the people in the pews. We've got to stand up and do something, is do I ready myself for a sensual and secure trip to the grave and the waiting arms of Satan? Or do I ready myself to meet Jesus face to face in this world in heaven?
That's right.
For Jesus says, Pastor Bob, let the rule and reign of heaven lead you to victory over death. I want to spend a minute. This is a phrase that I use in a lot of my writing, the rule and reign of heaven. And I need to source that here. That did not come from me. Probably the best line I've written in any of my books came from a Canadian worship leader. His name's David Ruiz, and it was in his book titled The Worship God is Seeking. Pastor Bob, when he talked about Christian worship, he said in Christian worship, the rule and reign of heaven breaks through. God is here, and we will never be the same. Imagine, Pastor Bob, if every Sunday, every church you went to, that was the way you walked out the door, that you had experienced the rule and reign of heaven.
Amen.
And you knew God was in that place and you're walking out never to be the same again.
That's the whole goal. That's what church is supposed to be about. You know, you come as you are, but you never leave as you came in.
Amen, amen. Heaven comes down and changes us. We don't want heaven to come down so we can make it human. We want heaven to come down and make us holy.
Amen.
And you know, the key is the spiritual aspect of it. And you've already alluded to that, that the church has become too physical, too intellectual, too ritualistic, like you said. But Jesus says, let the rule and reign of heaven lead you to victory over death, for I can fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, I still remember Nicodemus, who was a rich and religious man. He was the best of the best. I mean, they say that sometimes the Pharisees were less than 600, and Nicodemus was one of the best of them. Yet he knew something was wrong with his life, and he came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you were doing unless God were with him.
Amen.
And Jesus instructed Nicodemus to be born again. Well, how can a grown man be born again? He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time, Nicodemus replied, and Jesus instructed Nicodemus again, be born of the water of the Spirit, for the rule and reign of heaven was calling Nicodemus into the kingdom of God, and he could only comprehend the human aspect of our physical lives. He was unable to peek through the heaven's veil and see God's divine spiritual nature. He was unable to feel the baptism of the Holy Spirit's water and unable to let go of this life and ride the wind of the Spirit past the grave to the very kingdom of heaven. Yet, somehow, as we've talked about before, Nicodemus was born again.
Yep. Amen.
For he stood up in the Sanhedrin and said, Jesus deserves a fair trial. And then he went to the cross in front of all the Romans and risked his life and everything and helped Joseph of Arimathea carry Jesus' body from the cross to the grave. These acts are living proof of a new life.
Yep. Amen.
A new life where Nicodemus experienced the rule and reign of heaven breaking through, and a life where the wind of the Holy Spirit now directed his steps. Pastor Bob, as you alluded to, I was born again as John the Apostle on 10/24/82. And today I want to say something. That brothers and sisters, I asked the question in the sermon, what about you? If you're born again, then I rejoice and cry out, hallelujah. If you're not born again and you're listening to this podcast, then please, please, please bow your head in prayer. Ask God to take control of your life. Ask Jesus to deliver you in your spiritual birth and await the wind of the Holy Spirit to begin your new life. And then you can mark today as your spiritual birthday and begin your preparation to meet Jesus face to face on the Mount of Beatitudes or at the very gate of heaven.
Amen. Amen. That's right. You know, the thing we see so much evil going on in the world right now. You know, I mean, you can see Satan's influence every night on the evening news, locally, nationally, globally. And on the surface, if you just take it at face value, it looks like he's winning. Because so many people have turned away from God. There's an anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian wave sweeping across America as well as the entire world. But true Christians understand the uptick in all the evil we see now is because the devil knows his time is short. I mean, all the things we see happening can be found in the Bible telling us about the soon return of Jesus is about to happen. So how can we as Christians counter these attacks by the devil in our government and our society as a whole? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I want to just drop right in, and as great, you're the best interviewer I've ever been with because you always drop right into the next thing. Go to the sermon as it ends. It says, Jesus says, I can prepare you for your life in heaven. Amen. That's how we live in the world today. We get ready for heaven. For at Amity Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, on 4/14/85, Jesus indwelled me. Actually, Jesus had indwelled me for 3 days, and guess which days? The days, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just like the days he was in the tomb, he indwelled me. What a wonderful experience. It's on the website. You can read all about it. But this was the highlight of the experience. It's Sunday morning at church. Jesus indwelled me and sang the hymn, Eternal God, Whose Power Upholds. From these words, Jesus prepares us for heaven by sending us forth thy prophets true to make all lands thine own. Pastor Bob, if we live 80 years, even if we live, I've seen some people recently that live 100 years, it's only a fraction. Yeah. It's only a minuscule representation of eternity. Yeah. We've got to get ready for eternity. And if the world here is ruining us today, how are we going to be ready for eternity? And Jesus says, let me send you forth with a message from me. For Christ, we go into the world seeking the lost, just like you do. We've got to always be looking for people who need Jesus. And just like I emphasize so much, we got to preach a second birth. People have to be born again into the kingdom of God and get away from the evil in the world, at least in the moment you're in the kingdom of God. And you know, it's such a glorious thing if you can go to church and feel like you've been with God the whole time and come out a part of his kingdom. Jesus prepares us for heaven by helping us to spread thy gracious reign till greed and hate shall cease. Pastor Bob, that day that he indwelled me and sang at church, when I sang the words greed and hate, I was overcome with his anger, with his fury. I almost fainted because the greed and the hate in the world today is so pervasive. Yeah. You know, you hear me get up on the pedestal and talk about greed all the time. I mean, we don't even think of it as a sin in this country anymore.
Right.
But we are consumed by greed. Mm-hmm. And the hate that lives in the American society today is all-inclusive. We're all either on the left or on the right, in the front or in the back, up or down, but we're all on one side or another, and we're all against each other.
Yep.
And we're all armed with hate. For Christ, we go into the world, though. After we hear these words, we go into the world preaching sacrificial giving and love, knowing that the more we proclaim this message, the more we become like Christ. I had a wonderful experience over the Christmas break. My son, who he and I are both real, have loved golf all our lives. I love teaching he and my other son, and now he's teaching his kids, my grandchildren. And for my Christmas present, he took me and my two grandchildren, his two kids, down to Pinehurst, North Carolina. They had built a par 3 golf course, and the kids and I can play par 3. I'm not really good enough to play the full course anymore. But Pastor Bob, when I was down there, I was overcome with the witness of Payne Stewart. I don't know if you remember him, but he won the 1999 U.S. Open there at Pinehurst, and he beat the two best players in the world, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and his whole week there was a witness. He wore a WWJD bracelet, and there's still this glorious statue of him down there, raising his right hand in the air, and there's that bracelet.
Amen.
And he said, I'm doing this as a witness to Jesus Christ. And Pastor Bob, he died just a few weeks later.
Yep.
And his whole memory of Payne Stewart is now someone who was like Christ living in the world. Could we all do that?
Amen.
Jesus prepares us for heaven by showing us true wisdom above that makes life's pathway clear. Jesus is trying to set us a clear path. And Jesus in the last verse says, we shall know the loveliness of lives made fair and free. Christ wants to show us the glory of God. He wants us all to strive for spiritual riches. He doesn't want us to live the American dream and die in a happy retirement, getting ready for the grave and Satan's waiting arms. He wants us to be prepared for heaven and ready to meet him there at the very gate. Now, Pastor Bob, in closing this message about spiritual, striving for spiritual riches, I use the same closing that I did in the letter to Smyrna in the original seven messages. And once again, Jesus says, those who win the victory will not be hurt by the second death. If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen. Amen. And just to emphasize, true spiritual riches don't really involve worldly riches. It involves
eternal life they're of the
with
Spirit.
Jesus Christ.
They're of the Spirit.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we had that list of 13 gifts from Jesus that were spiritual riches, and you remember those emails and everything. It's salvation. It's spiritual birth. It's spiritual life. It's freedom from sin. It's perfect love. It's God's word. It's answered prayer. It's unfailing hope. It's eternal joy. It's heaven itself. Those are spiritual riches.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, well, we're going to be transitioning into the third message now. So, you know, I'm going to stop this recording, and then we'll start the next one so that, you know, because this is about the area where we would normally end the episode at. So this will just save some on the editing process. So for those of you who are still listening to this episode, I want you to go to John's website at dazzlinglight.org, sign in, subscribe, get a hold of John, start receiving these daily emails and Twitter messages from him, because they are so inspiring. You receive them every day, and it is the Word of God that you will receive, not some rant, not some calling. Hey, if you send me $100, God says every person who sends me $100 today is going to get a special blessing. You don't get that here. I'm telling you the truth. And you need to go to his website, take a look around, subscribe to his newsletter, subscribe to the Twitters. It will bless you. So for John Meach, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.